السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يأنن الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها قد بينا لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله بفضل كرم إحسان of Allah Ta'ala we are gathered once again on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. In this ayat kareema that we have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question in a way of admonition. It's like an admonitory verse. Allah Ta'ala is asking that has the time not come, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ, has the time not come for the people who have brought iman? So Allah Ta'ala is mentioning this to the believers, not to kuffar, not to disbelievers, to the believers. أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that their hearts are filled with khushu. Has the time not come for their hearts to be filled with khushu? The Mufassirin, they explain what is meant by this khushu. One is the literal meaning, the heart must be humble, there must be humility, that heart must be such that it submits, that heart must be receptive to advice. And in this ayat-e kareema, what this word actually means is that a person's heart must become such that very, very willingly this heart accepts and makes amal upon all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this heart refrains and abstains from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has prohibited. And a person must do this without any laxity. This is the meaning of أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and whatever has been revealed by Allah Ta'ala with truth. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, and do not be like those people who were given the book before, referring to the Jews, referring to the Christians, that they were also given divine scriptures. So do not be like them. In other words, they didn't soften their hearts. They didn't engage in tilawat. They didn't engage in zikrullah. They didn't engage in glorifying Allah Ta'ala, submitting themselves in front of Allah Ta'ala for a long while. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ, a long time had passed. And then what is the effect of that? When a person is not going to connect himself with Allah Ta'ala, he's not going to connect himself with the houses of Allah Ta'ala, the people of Allah Ta'ala, the works of Allah Ta'ala, and he is then going to engage in other things, la yani, futile things, and Allah forbid, haram things, then what's going to happen? Faqasat qulubuhum, their hearts became hard. Their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ, and most of them were open transgressors. They openly transgressed against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these verses, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who was one of the senior most mufassirin from amongst the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and it is for this reason that although he was very much younger than many of the senior sahaba, but Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to include him in all the important mashwaras, etc. He used to include him in his very close counsel because of his understanding of the Quran Sharif. It is mentioned that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, there is no verse of the Quran Sharif for which he doesn't know the incident surrounding the revelation. So both him and Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who was also a giant in tafsir, both of them mention in different words, but the sabak, the lesson is that believers must never become lax in their effort, in their mujahada, in their qurbani, in their remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, in their ibadat, etc. Must never become lax. When a believer will become lax, then slowly ghaflat will set in, and then that heart will become hard. And when the heart becomes hard, then it is no more receptive to advice. Then that heart can do such things that sometime when you hear insan carried out this deed, you think and wonder to yourself that can a human do this? Allahumma fazna min, Allah Ta'ala protect us. So this ayat kareema, alam ya'nini alladhina, it was recited in the presence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and there were some people from Yamama who had come, and they were sitting with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and somebody recited this ayat kareema, and the people of Yamama, when they heard this verse, they began to weep, they began crying. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, looking at them weeping, looking at them crying, he said that we, referring to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, he said, we in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we used to hear this verse, then this used to be our condition, that we used to start to cry. When we heard this verse, we used to cry. Allah Ta'ala is admonishing us. We used to start to cry. He says, but later on, people came whose hearts are hard, that they are not melting when they hear this verse. Hazrat Shaddad bin Aws radiallahu ta'ala, he mentions that the first thing to be taken away will be this khushu of the heart. It's the first thing that will be taken away when a person is going to get involved in guna, a person is going to get involved sometime in futile things, too much of games, too much TVs, music. Some of it is haram, some of it is la yani. Whether it is not haram, but it is la yani also, it is futile. Then the effect of this, Shaddad bin Aws radiallahu ta'ala, he says that the first thing that will happen is that softness of the heart, that heart which is submissive, that heart which can concentrate in salah, that heart which shakes, it shakes when it hears the ayat of Allah Ta'ala, that heart when it listens about Jahannam, a fear grips it, that would be taken away. A person won't have that. After that, he can listen to warnings upon warnings, ayat upon ayat, but it doesn't affect the heart. The person just carries on in his own ghaflat. So there is an incident mentioned, which you must have heard before, maybe we mentioned it also here in the masjid, of a person by the name of Fuzail bin Ayaz rahimahullah, who was a great muhaddith, very, very pious person in Makkah Mukarramah. But prior to him becoming like this, prior to his life changing, he was a person who was a bandit. He was a robber. And he used to waylay the caravans, rob people, etc. And he was in love with one woman. He was in love with a certain woman. And one day he was going to see her. He was going to see this woman, and he was scaling the wall of her house. And while he is scaling the wall of this house, somebody was making tilawat of Quran Sharif, and the person was reading this ayat kareema. Alam ya'nini alladhina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillah wa ma nazala min al-haq. And this ayat just pierced his heart. This was a moment of his hidayat. So ayat pierced his heart. And he didn't go over the wall. Came on this side. Then he started pondering over this ayat. And then he sees that there is a house which is like abandoned. So he thought to himself, rather he go into this house, rest for a while, think a little bit, ponder. So he goes into this house, and when he goes in, he realizes that there is a group of travelers who have taken refuge in this home, and they are making mashwara with regards to their journey. Now, what time will they leave in the morning, etc. And one of them makes a statement, say, you know, this area here, there is a bandit by the name of Fuzail bin Ayaz. So we got to be very careful of him. We got to be very careful, so we have to plan our route properly. We got to be, sharp, that he mustn't waylay us, he mustn't rob us. So he's listening to what these people are saying, and he turns to Allah Ta'ala and says, Ya Allah, here I am, spending my night in guna. I'm spending my night in sin. I was going to spend this night in zina. And on the other hand, your Muslim bandas, my brothers, they are restless of the harm I'm going to cause to them. So this became the turning point in his life. He left that place, he went away to Makkah Mukarramah. And it is mentioned that when he came to Makkah Mukarramah, he lived a life of zuhud, He just divorced himself from the dunya. A very difficult existence. But he worked, he earned, he paid back whoever he had robbed, people that he knew, etc. He paid them back. And then he studied the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he lived his life. He became a very, very pious personality. People used to come to study by him. And when he used to notice people laughing and having a merry old time, he used to go up to them and he used to give them advices. He used to advise them that rather cry. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were laughing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to them and they could see the displeasure on his face. And he said to them that you are laughing. When you haven't got any guarantee from Allah Ta'ala that now you are going to go to Jannat and you're going to be saved from Jannah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them advice, rather cry. Not to say a person cannot laugh, not to say you cannot laugh, but we cannot overdo it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave these advices to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'anum for us to take lesson. They were the audience of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the lessons were for us who are going to come till Qiyamah. This morning, I was listening to one portion of a bayan given by Maulana Ridwan Qaji sahab, of Azadpur, the Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid sahab, the Ustad in the Darul Uloom. And he mentioned one incident in that bayan. And this thing got me thinking, that we sometime, now we hear the story of Fuzail bin Ayaz, we think, this could only happen that time. He was a big gangster and robber and whatever. He heard that Ayat-e-Karima and he got Hidayat. And, where is it going to happen in today's time? But Maulana was mentioning in his bayan of a Jamaat that had gone to, he said most probably it was Gambia. His Jamaat had gone to Gambia. And a lot of Muslim people there, and they were making gush. So they went to one person and he got upset with them, Like sometimes we too, Allah maaf kare, we get upset. Somebody comes to remind us of some deal. You get a reminder on your phone, special. Or they having late night shopping, this is coming on special, that. However many reminders we get is not enough. We're thankful. Hey, I mustn't forget the sale is on. I mustn't forget this. I mustn't forget. But when we are reminded of our Allah, when we are reminded of our deen, we get upset. Why are you reminding me? I know about it. Why are you reminding me? So this person got upset and he told the Jamaat, he said, I am a Musalli, I come to the masjid, so what you are coming to me for? And we have this mentality that I am coming masjid, why are you coming to call me? So he says, why you are coming to remind me? If you want to remind somebody, then go and remind Big Papa. He used that name, Big Papa. Mawarirwan also used the same name in his bayan. So go and remind that Big Papa, why you are coming and talking to me? He may have been off mood or something, but he told the Jamaat off like that. So Jamaat brothers are Jamaat brothers, bhai. They got concern for our iman. Who's Big Papa, small papa, medium papa, whichever papa, they need to meet all the papas. So they started finding out, this Big Papa, who is this now? We need to go make his mulaqat now, we need to give him dawat. So whoever they mentioning, people are, don't even think about it. No? That's out of bounds. Don't even think about it. The Jawan brothers, they will do their work. So eventually they said, well, if the local people don't want to take us, so we must go ourselves. We have to go and meet this person. So now they started finding out from some taxi drivers. No taxi driver wants to take them to this man's house. But eventually they got one taxi driver, they had to pay him and a good fare, exorbitant amount. And then he agreed, see, I'll take you all close by. And you all get off from there, the rest of the distance you all walk. If you all make it out, I'll be waiting for you all. But I'm not coming anywhere near the house. So they went. So when they came by this house, they see this house is fortified, got guards outside. So the guards say, "But what you all want here?" So they came to meet this Big Papa. They start laughing at them. So who are you all? You got an appointment? So in all of that, one person came, who happened to be somebody close to this Big Papa. So he drove there. So he asking the guards, "Who's these people?" Said, "No, they want to meet the big boss." So that fellow also had a good laugh and he went inside. A few minutes later, he sent a message to the guards that let them come inside. Let them come in. So they went in. Now they went in, now probably they searched them, whatever, say what work you've got. Say, no, we want to meet this man. So they said, okay, you'll wait here. We put them in one room. So you'll wait here. He has agreed to meet yours. But you only got 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, you talk what your business is and then you get moving. After 10 minutes, you walk. If you didn't finish whatever you need to explain in 10 minutes, you wake up and you go. So they're sitting there, sitting. So after some while, one real Big Papa came. So this fellow was big size too. And rings and tattoos and chains and another 15, 20 people walking with him, all armed. They came in the room, so he's asking them, what you all want? So the mutakallim, Mawaridwan is saying, he said, mutakallim, he bichara never gave a talk like this before. You know, he's shaking, he can't even remember what he spoke to that Big Papa. So anyway, he gave his dawat to him. So 10 minutes was up, he kept quiet. So 10 minutes, that man never speak one word. After 10 minutes, he picked his head up. He says, wearing dark glasses too, you can't see his eyes. He picked his head up. He said, what you all want? So the mutakallim now, he didn't know what to tell this man. He says, we came to invite you to come to the masjid, the program. Come join us for the program. So he came with them. After some time, he came with them. All his henchmen, everything, they came. So they went in the masjid. Now they got sent a message to the masjid first. This fellow is coming now, get some things ready there. The person in the masjid, he doesn't know who's coming. So he put some little snacks down, some badams or whatever. And this chap came to the masjid. So he sat down there. Now the Amir Sahib sat down with him. The Amir Sahib is giving him dawat. Give him dawat, speaking to him about iman, yaqeen, whatever. Till Asr he said, he never speak one word. He just listened to the Amir. When Asr Azan went, The Amir Sahab stopped. He asked the Amir Sahab, he said, "What you want? What do you want?" So he said, "No, spend some time with us. We here for the night, spend some time with us." So he took out his gun. They had a gun with him, and he took out his, now they think, what's happening? He put his gun on the floor, took out some chains, some rings. He went to make wudu. But they observed when he made wudu, he made a perfect wudu. He read Asr namaz, he read a perfect namaz. Asr to Maghrib, the Amir Sahab spoke to him. Before Maghrib, he told his people, he said, "Take all these things away and go home." So they tell him, "Bhai, we can't leave you here and you can't stay unarmed. Because this man is a killer. He kills so many people. He's a big gangster. He's a drug merchant. If his enemies come to know he's in the masjid, they'll come put him away here." So he told him, "No, you all take everything and you all go. I'm spending the night with these people." Say, Maghrib time, when the Amir Sahab stopped a few minutes before Maghrib, said, "We'll make some dua." Say, the way this man made dua, the way he cried in the dua, that the whole Jamaat all started crying. And then he spent 3 days with them. Then he said, "No, you want to spend 40 days. So this Jamaat now, they got a different route. So they put him with another Jamaat, spent 40 days. So after 40 days, he contacted that Amir Sahab. There's a South African Jamaat. He contacted that Amir Sahab and said, "I need one favor from you." Say, "What?" Say, "No, I've made Tawbah. And part of my Tawbah is that from now onwards, my life will be spent pulling out other people who are caught up like how I was caught up. I must take them out of the vice dens." 70 of his people all made Tawbah with him. So this is not Fuzail bin Ayaz's time, no? And the Jamaat is from where? From our land. So 70 people made Tawbah with him. Then he told that Amir Sahab that, "I need one favor. I need you to take me to my father. You must take me to my father." So the Amir Sahab said, "No problem." In his mind, he's thinking, "Now this fellow, what a big gangster he was now. We met Big Papa, now you're going to make big Grandpapa, now you'll meet, you know." But he say, when they went to this man's father was a senior alim. And when he saw his son, he couldn't believe his eyes. And when he heard the whole Kalguzari, Amir Sahab explained to him how much duas he gave that Amir Sahab, he said, "Amir Sahab, you know, I never thought my son will make Tawbah." He said, every day I wait for the call where they're going to tell me that, "Come for your son's janaza. Some rival gang has put him away. Some rival gang has killed him. Come for his janaza." Every day, that was my fear, that this fellow will die without making Tawbah. He said, "Today what you are showing me." So you see, what's hidden in the heart, the potential within, that only Allah knows. We cannot judge anybody. We can't judge anybody. And we have to continue our work. But he was humble enough to cry to Allah. See, he cried to Allah. He raised his hands. "Ya Allah, hands up. I'm sorry. Enough is enough. This filthy life is over." And when he had to turn away from that life, it wasn't an easy thing. A man who is used to that type of wealth, that type of command, respect, whatever, now to just change, leave everything. And that Mawridan was mentioning that the last they heard of this man, years later, that one day it became his mamul after that, that Asr to Maghrib is spent in the masjid. Right? Years later, one day on a Jumu'ah, between Asr and Maghrib, while he was carrying out his mamulat in the masjid, Allah Ta'ala took him away. So see, The same Allah who was there in the time of Fuzail bin Ayaz, the same Allah who was there in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, that same Allah is here now. It's we who are not turning. The same Allah is there to listen to us. It's we. The delay is from our side. The delay is from our side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Our brother Suleiman Bayat, Allah ta'ala, make his maghfirat, grant him Jannat al-Firdos, grant him high stages in Jannat, give his family sabr jameel. From the inception, alhamdulillah, he used to handle the masjid board, the times on the masjid board, etc. So he used to handle it, and with no fuss, no stories, nothing, quietly, he used to just do his thing. Allah ta'ala reward him, we sorely missed. So alhamdulillah, now he has gone, but we have to carry on. The masjid board too needs to carry on. One day our name too will go on the masjid board, right? But until then we have to carry on. So our young Musalli Rehan Bamji, so alhamdulillah, he has taken this zimmedari, right? So he will now be in charge of the masjid board, right? And inshallah he will handle that. Make dua for him, Allah Ta'ala, you know, give him also long life, istiqamat, Allah Ta'ala accept it from him, and nobody else should interfere with the board. One person is responsible, inshallah, he will handle it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.